This is a Collider.com audio interview.
We just had a Tron family meeting.
What was decided?
Just lots of high fives all around.
And was that your first time seeing it last night?
Yes, it was.
So, for someone who's been in the process for so long and done so much press, what was the reaction as you're watching?
It surpassed all my expectations. You know, what happens so often as an actor is you retain the information about the scenes that you yourself shot, and you obsess over certain scenes that you found the most challenging or interesting, and the rest of the film kind of falls away in your memory or it fades a little bit. So, you know, it's been so long since I actually kind of read the script in its entirety, you know, a good year or more, and so being able to watch everyone's performance, watch all elements of the story come together was just extraordinary. And I was blown away by everyone's work. I mean, that was my reaction, was just, oh my God, everyone pulled it together. Everyone did things they'd never done before, and it was, for so many different departments on the film, so revolutionary. And being able to watch Michael Sheen's performance, you know, much of which I was not there for, so that was really a treat for me. And to see a lot of Jeff's work as Clue, that was really exciting, because of course that involved a lot of special effects in order to create the finished product. And so I think that was probably the most astounding thing, just being able to see the entire picture together and realize how much hard work paid off.
Seeing what Jeff did with the performance, you know, using the 1982 Jeff as a template, do you think about that as an actress, like things you're doing now? Maybe repurposed, you know, later?
I think it's such an interesting concept. I think, you know, my dream movie now is to take, you know, Clint Eastwood, Julie Christie, Vanessa Redgrave, you know, pick a bunch of Meryl Streep and take them all and put them in like a teen comedy. because now we can do that. It would be the most expensive teen comedy ever made.
But worth it.
But totally worth it. I want to see that movie. And what I really realized last night while watching Jeff's performance as Clue was, no matter what effects they come up with to be able to make actors seem younger or older, it's still driven by the actor. And the effects are extraordinary, and Eric Barba's team is incredible, but Jeff was driving that rig, and Jeff's performance is still what makes that character so compelling. And it was sort of a relief to know, well, actors will still be needed, no matter what they come up with. You know, even if we're stuck in a booth somewhere hidden away, they'll still need actors to drive these things and make them interesting. And I just thought, you know, that's an incredibly difficult thing to do, and it's such an art form in itself, and one that's new and unprecedented. So the fact that Jeff just brought an incredible amount of depth to that character is even more extraordinary, knowing all the effects and all the extra work that went into it.
Do actors of your generation think about keeping versions of yourself on a hard drive, basically because this is something you can use in your career, as Jeff did in this film? Like,
I don't think I can escape that images of myself will be kept on a hard drive now. I think that it's inevitable. It's, you know, there's permanence to everything you do now, whether you like it or not. And so it can be utilized in the future, hopefully for a good reason. But it is an interesting concept. And you know, we're still kind of cresting that wave. It's still completely new. And I think, you know, there's only a few actors in this business who have gone through the process that Jeff went through. You know, I think he and Brad Pitt can really discuss the benefits or the challenges of working with a head rig like that for face replacement. So it's really exciting for all of us to be a part of that new technology and be able to share that experience and be a part of something so revolutionary.
So do you like the look, the design back for you?
The look for me, yes. It was a true collaboration to create Cora. And when we originally started putting together ideas for her, it was really kind of up for grabs because Cora, of course, was not in the original film. And Joe Kaczynski was very interested in making her a unique and unusual a female heroine of this type of film that was unlike any other. And so we worked very hard to make her very intelligent and powerful, but at the same time childlike and nuanced, so that she would not just be there as a kind of foil for the men, not just be eye candy. She could have very easily, I think, with a different team, that character could have easily turned into the temptress of the Tron world. She could have just been this kind of sexy femme fatale. With a suit like that, it's easy to fall into that, I think. But because Jo was adamant that she not be that, and because I worked very, very hard to create someone who was not that, we were able to work together to create Cora. We were very inspired by Joan of Arc. I brought the concept of Joan of Arc very early on, 6 months before we started shooting. And I said, Jo, I found Cora. I figured her out. She's Joan of Arc. Because Joan of Arc was this unlikely warrior, this child who could lead an army. She was kind of unnaturally powerful and seemed to have this connection to another world, to a higher power, to be guided by something greater than her, and by selflessness. And that was Cora. And that combination of innocence and strength is unusual in characters. And so once we found this historical reference, it was really fun to flesh her out. But Jo was completely on board with that from the beginning. And that's, you know, really when you've hit the jackpot with directors is when they can be as excited about that stuff as you are. You know, I remember calling or emailing Jo at 3 a.m., you know, again, 6 months before we started shooting anything and saying, I figured it out. I was looking at ancient Korean Buddhist warriors, and I think that Cora is one of them, and they fight with swords. So Cora needs a sword. And then the next day, great, Cora has a sword. Like, we can work on that. So that's part of the reason I feel so proud of the finished product of Cora, is because so much hard work went into it, so much collaboration, and so much love, and I feel very proud of the way she's come out. She's quirky and odd, and I like that. And another reason I was so adamant about making her so intelligent, as well as being a warrior, is because I really want her to appeal to the female audience, and particularly young females. I want her to be a role model for the young audience. I want girls to feel inspired by her strength and her wit and her intelligence and her compassion. You know, I think that it's rare these days to have a female character in these types of movies that isn't just there to look really sexy in a suit. Too often, that's what happens. And then you wonder, who do these little girls dress up as for Halloween? You know, when I was little, we dressed as Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman represented, you know, social justice and honesty. And now I'm not sure who they dress up as. Although this year, pretty cool, before the movie came out, I saw a lot of Koras walking around. So that was pretty exciting. But yeah, I really wanted Cora to be appealing to both men and women, and I feel very proud of how she's turned out.
Can you talk about the makeup look? We were talking about it before you came in. You had a little bit of like a manga, anime kind of eye. And then mentioning Joan of Arc, I can kind of see that in the hair.
Yes, the hair was very much inspired by Joan. We wanted something almost androgynous. You know, she's a fighter. That's her purpose, Cora. She's there to protect Flynn. And she is, she needs to be able to move fast. And so if she had long, flowing Little Mermaid hair, it wouldn't be very practical for her. So we wanted her hair to have the kind of slick, non-organic look of the Tron world, but at the same time be really practical and also good looking. You know, we wanted it to be something flattering, of course, but it was a process of going through several different wigs and designs. And again, Jo and I worked together very closely on that. And as for makeup, we wanted her to look different from the rest of the programs. And she has a little bit more of a human look, a little bit more texture, a little more skin tone, but she still has that very white, very pale look. And the eye makeup, yeah, I mean, that we had an amazing team. Rosalinda da Silva is the makeup artist who designed that look. And it seemed to make sense for her. You know, as you notice, the sirens, who are the other, you know, females in the film, they have these long, incredible lashes, and they're more kind of like just unbelievably sexy and rocker chic in their makeup. And we wanted Cora to be kind of an alternative to that. Still quite intense, but not quite as glamorous. So it was a fun process to figure all that stuff out, yeah.
Olivia, you have such a strong gay following, LGBT community. What do you think they're gonna connect with this film?
I think they'll connect with much of the same thing that everybody else will connect with, that it's just a great story about humanity and about compassion. And you know, the message of the film is really that we need to remind ourselves of the beauty of human connection and of nature, and pull ourselves out of our devices for a moment and appreciate, you know, what it is just to be human beings. And so I think that message is the same for everyone of all lifestyles. But it is also a true love story and also a family story. And anyone who has, you know, a relationship, strained or not, with their father will really connect to the story, because in the end, that's what it's about. It's about a son and a father finding each other again. And I find that incredibly moving and powerful. And so I think beyond all the special effects and all the beauty of this film, that's really what is at its heart and core.
Olivia, you're a politically minded person. Do you see, yes, sort of a, some, watching last night, I sort of got like a sort of a political undertone.
Absolutely. It's totally sort of anti-fascist message here.
Thinks he's doing the right thing, has this war on imperfection going, mm-hmm, on. So do you get that now, watching it yourself and seeing that coming out?
Yes, absolutely. And I saw it more than ever last night. I knew that was there in the script, but I was really excited to see, oh, good, we have a little bit of a political slant. Maybe if nobody will, you know, maybe no one will notice, but you and me. But I think that, you know, the message, again, is that imperfection is beautiful. And the idea of, you know, accepting flaws you know, I mean, the story is one of a dictator who has ethnically cleansed this universe, and what's left is this desperate and miserable world. And so, you know, the message, I think, of course, is that compassion, humanity, and humility are important, you know, in our own lives as well as in politics. But gosh, I mean, again, that makes me think of how incredible Jeff's performance was, because to create a character like Clue, who is this just merciless dictator, who really kind of sends chills up your spine as you think of maybe who he resembles in actual history. But it's, I think it does have a message as well. I mean, a political message as well as one just about humanity in general.
I'm curious, since you wrapped on this, you've been kind of working, your career has taken an upwards swing. Mm-hmm. Could you talk a little bit about the last year or two of your life and what you've been able to do?
Mm-hmm. I feel like the luckiest person on the planet. Tron was such a departure for me. Cora was unlike anyone I'd ever played before, and I got to create someone who was, you know, just unlike anything anyone had ever seen me do before, anything I had ever done before. And so after that, I was really excited about doing that again, about departing from myself again and transforming again, because beyond the physical transformation of Tron, it was really just quite a transformation on many levels. And so it also piqued my interest in action, as well as kind of adventure films and sci-fi and everything like that. It's something that I never thought I would do. I never saw myself quite in that genre. It was such an exciting thing to be a part of it. Particularly because of the people who follow those types of movies. You know, my experiences at Comic-Con have been so incredible and so exciting. So after Tron, I was excited to do Cowboys and Aliens, which was something that is a very different film, but again, a huge departure from myself and a total transformation, and feel very blessed to be a part of that and everything in between. It's been a really, really incredible year, and every single thing I've done has been very different from the last, and you know, now it seems to all be kind of bubbling to the surface, and I'm very proud.
How do you like being turned into merchandise? Is this your first experience with that, like toys?
This is my first experience with that. I don't think there's a Little House 13 doll, unless I'm missing something.
There should be.
You know, it's really quite odd. I like Carrie Fisher's take on it. You know, Carrie Fisher is such an incredible writer and actress and person. And I don't know if any of you have read or seen her one-woman show, Wishful Drinking, but she talks a lot about the merchandise that came from Star Wars, including a blow-up doll, which I haven't heard of any of those being created for Cora. But it's a funny out-of-body experience to see some miniature version of yourself on a shelf. But, you know, I feel so proud to have created this character. So whenever I see a little Cora or I see a Cora costume, I just feel like this was something that, you know, that we created together. And it's just a very different experience when you feel like you've designed a character. And every part of her look and being is something that comes from the research that went into creating her personality and her history. And so I've enjoyed that experience so far, but the second I see a Cora blow-up doll, I won't.
Can you tell us about your training, the physical training for the movie?
It was it was challenging. I was shooting House while I was training for Tron, so I would, you know, wake up way earlier than anyone should ever wake up and go and do a few hours of training a day that included cross training, cardio training, martial arts training. I mean, a lot of what Cora does in the movie is mixed martial arts, and so that was something that I worked very hard on. We had an incredible stunt team called 8711. They've done a lot of the big films of the last, you know, 10 years, and they are just extraordinary, and I really appreciated that they gave me the confidence to do a lot of my own stunts, but they said, you're going to have to train for it, and I was completely open to that, and I completely physically transformed my body. I have never looked like that before, and I will never look like that again. It was important in creating Cora to transform myself physically, because once I understood what it was like to be able to fight and to have those kind of muscles and to have that strength, it changed the way I walked, it changed the way I stood, and I suddenly understood what it felt like to be able to protect myself, which I'd never really felt before. So it was the first time I really realized how important that physical training is to creating the character beyond just the aesthetics.
Did you stop the training after? Or?
Yes. Oh, such a relief.
It's brutal.
Couldn't wait. The entire time we were shooting Tron, I was planning my meal of the rap day. I was like, well, you know, I'm married to an Italian, so it was all about the pasta and the wine. I couldn't wait. I would just dream of my giant plate of pasta while we were on set. But no, it was, you know, on these big films, you're so lucky to have, you know, the best trainers in the world teaching you how to fight, and everyone in their department is the best of the best. So it's such an honor to have them focused on creating something for you to maximize the impact of your character. So you have to bring your, you know, you have to bring your focus and your energy and never complain, because this is such an honor to have these people working on you to turn you into a little warrior. I mean, it was quite an honor.
The costume and the training together, I mean, the costume's so sculpted to you. Like, does that pose problems as filming goes on? Like, do you get leaner in the beginning and then, like, okay, or is it in reverse when you start doing all the stunts and stuff for the film? Do you start, the costume starts getting looser?
I wonder if, well, the thing about these costumes is they don't stretch. So it was certainly once we had our last fitting, it was like, okay, this is the size of the costume now. So just so you know, it can't change. It's not like we can do a little adjustment on this one. You know, each suit was a sculpture. It was such an intricate piece of craftsmanship. And so you couldn't say like, oh, well, they'll get me another one. Or, oh, you know, maybe they can let this out a little at the seams. And so there was a certain dedication to the suit, a relationship we had to have with our suits, good and bad. But of course, you know, after over 4 months of working, and you fluctuate physically, and of course you train and train and train for a movie, and then once you actually start doing the movie, you don't have time to train. But it was, luckily I survived and was able to stay in that suit just enough. Just until the last second.
What's the last question?
When you was a teenager, did you prefer the science fiction fantasy stories or romantic?
When I was...
You was a teenager.
Oh, teenager. I've always been a fan of science fiction. My family, we used to all watch Star Trek together. it's kind of a nerdy family activity. But as far as, you know, reading science fiction, I think Jules Verne was probably like the extent of my science fiction literature in my library. I was much more into romance as a teenager, and it's been a kind of new discovery for me to learn about sci-fi adventure, and it's an honor to be a part of it. I think it's a really interesting genre, and it's all about the imagination. You know, there's just, it's boundless what you can do in these stories. And so when you have a creative team like we did for Tron, you can just exceed all expectations and all boundaries of the imaginations. And it's just kind of a beautiful thing to be able to be a part of.
Okay. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you.
When are you back on House?
Oh, I can't tell you that, but soon.